Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, January 23rd, Happy Resurrection Day, and today is also Joseph Mendham's birthday. Joseph is our Active Christian Living and Music Ministry Associate. Thank you, Joseph, for all the work that you do at Mount Brook Baptist, and we celebrate with you on your birthday. Today, we also begin a new series in worship on the prayers in Philippians. This series is titled, A Church Transformed by the Gospel. And each week, we will pray a prayer together in worship and also, hopefully throughout the week, that ties in with the passage in Philippians. So as we start today, as we think about turning to God's Word, I want us to start with this prayer. Father, we come to you grateful for the hope of the gospel and for how you have shown us your love in Jesus. We pray that your love might overflow in us, that we would love you with our whole hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves. Let that love show us how we ought to live in the world, giving us knowledge and wisdom as we seek to follow you and to live as your faithful witnesses as we wait for Christ's return. Let that love make us humble, recognizing that all praise, honor, and glory belongs to you. Amen. Now let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 1 through 21. The birth of Isaac. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Hagar and Ishmael sent away. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking, and she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down, about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Let's move on to Psalm 44. Today we're reading the second part of this psalm, starting in verse 9. But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep, and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for a pittance, gaining nothing from their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their heads at us. I live in disgrace all day long, and my face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach and revile me because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. All this came upon us, though we had not forgotten you. We had not been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back. Our feet had not strayed from your path. But you crushed us and made us a haunt for jackals. You covered us with the deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secrets of the heart? Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. And now let's move over to the book of Mark. Today we are reading Mark 10, 1 through 16. And the first section here is on divorce. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." The next section is titled "The Little Children and Jesus." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and bless them. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Is it not an interesting pairing that we read the story of Abraham sending Hagar away, and then we have the discussion of divorce in Mark chapter 10? When the Pharisees come to him, Jesus asks them a question, "What did Moses command you?" And they say, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." So that's kind of what Abraham did today to Hagar, wasn't it? This was his response. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. And then he reminds them of the way it was supposed to be at creation. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this reason, they will be united in one flesh. What God has joined together, let no one separate. The book of Genesis is again and again reminding us of the effects of our sin and fallenness. God has given us a path towards fruitfulness and true life, and as Abraham does, he chooses a different path. He chooses a human path, and because of the stickiness of the situation with Hagar and Sarah, there seems no good end to the story. And I just love how Jesus kind of reminds us that sin gets us in this path, and he reminds us that the way things were intended is for one man to have one wife and for them to be united until death do them part. And then the little story about the children coming to Jesus, I just love it. Did you catch the words kingdom of God? Do you remember when Jesus began teaching about the kingdom of God? He said the kingdom of God is near. And so in one sense, the kingdom of God is a person. It is Jesus our Lord. And then the kingdom of God is also a reign, right? We decide that we want to be in God's kingdom. We want to follow God's ways. And here we see another little aspect of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God belongs to those who are pure in heart, who are innocent, who cling to the Savior in dependence and love. And so let us, as little children, turn to our Lord. And Lord, today, would you place your hands upon us and bless us? We ask, Lord, that your power be at work in our worship services today, that we might see people come to know you and to follow you on a deeper level. And may your name be praised. We love you and pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.